think about safe. People that are safe at their psychological needs need that to actually grow. It basically becomes the bedrock for them to actually try things that are courageous, to try to be honest with themselves, to try and do the right things. Because when people feel unsafe, they stop.
I've always felt immense fear.
I was born with several palsies.
I have always felt small.
Told not to take risks.
I may be blind, but I teach people how to see.
And I'm proud to be an individual.
This podcast is for you, the unconventional leader.
Maybe you are the one that everyone discounted.
Maybe you struggle with fear and self-doubt. We are here to empower the next generation of self-starters to step up.
Use their voice
and make an impact in this world.
You're listening to the Weekly Parody.
Hey, welcome to today's episode. If this is your first time listening, my name is Heather Parody. I am your host. Hope you're having an awesome day today. I just got back from Nashville, was at another conference, and I love me some conferences, so I'm in a great mood right now. And I'm really, really, really excited about getting to introduce you guys to Alex Kuhn. We're talking about culture, building a really strong culture in your business. Now, you might be thinking, Heather Parody, what does this have to do with me? Let me tell you a story really fast. So you know how you have all these friends on Facebook and you don't know them. You don't know all of them. I mean, you get these requests and you see you have mutual friends in common. And you see you go to the same events and they don't look crazy. So you become friends with them and you're kind of Facebook friends, but you don't know them that well. I don't know about you, but that's my life. Well, I've been friends with our guest today, Alex Kuhn, for a little bit. Didn't really know much about him except recently, over the past 6 months or so, I've just been hearing so much about him, about how awesome his work is, how incredible his team is, and just wonderful things, which to me speaks volume about what he's created. But it also just spiked my curiosity of like, wow, how is he creating such a strong tribe around him where they literally do all of his marketing for him? That's my perception of it. And you know you're onto something when people start talking about your work, because you and I both know the best marketing, it's not Facebook ads, it's not Instagram ads, it's not the newspaper, remember those things? It's word of freaking mouth, y'all. That's going to be my new t-shirt, word of freaking mouth, y'all. When you can get people rallied behind your work where they are talking about it and praising it, that is exactly where you want to be. So when I met Alex a few months ago, I was like, dude, you are onto something. People talk so well about you, so well about your work. Tell me how you're doing it. Because as leaders, whether it's in business or in life, that's when you're making an impact, when you can really start to move people and move them in a positive way. We get really deep in this episode talking about just human needs and our desire for connection and authenticity and moving away from salesy crap and building real authentic relationship, which is what we're all about here. So I'm super pumped for today's episode. But before we get started, you know what I'm going to say? If you have not subscribed to this podcast, what are you doing? What are you waiting on? You need to look down at your phone, unless you're driving. Don't get in a wreck, and hit that subscribe button so you do not miss another episode. And if you have been listening for a minute or two, consider leaving us an honest review. Hey, and one last thing before we get started on this interview. If you are a content creator, maybe you have a blog, a podcast, a YouTube channel, or maybe you're thinking about starting one, but you struggle with consistency. I tell you, I understand, because it is a lot more work than people think. But it's so important to be consistent so we can spread our messages to the people that we're trying to reach. So I created a free course for you. It is all about consistency with your content and building in systems and processes that make sure that you are deliberate with your production and staying on course with your work. You can grab that course by going to heatherparody.com/free course, or you can text content to 345-345. Again, that is content at 345-345.
Thank you, Heather. I mean, I guess met at the conference a couple times now, so I'm really pumped, excited, just really feeling alive to be on this podcast today. And I will keep my story, very short and sweet, but to the point.
But tell me your whole life story in 2 minutes. You want
the,
come on.
The whole one? The whole one. All right. April 8th, 1982. you know, I'll tell you where I actually got here today. I always tell my background before I actually ever got into the entrepreneurial world was I was actually a college swim coach. And in fact, I was actually hired as one of the youngest NCAA coaches in the entire country at the age of 23.
Why didn't I meet you last year?
Did you need swim lessons?
That I no, did a whole series. I did a whole series of Fidget Friday about my death fear of swimming and having to learn how to swim. And it was this huge thing. And here you are, a swim coach in my friends list.
It's like the very poor time in my part. I will take the blame for this one.
It is your fault, Alex.
It is my fault. I should have. I clearly, because, you know, I remember actually seeing your Facebook post when you did the
trial. And you're like, haha, good luck, girl.
But you know what? Actually, after college, when I was swimming there, I actually got into like amateur / professional triathlons. And, you know, today, you know, I do my 5 a.m. workout, but I definitely do not. I have no desire to get in back into those, you know, 13-mile runs or those 1-mile swims. There's just no part of it for me there.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. That just caught me off guard. And you said,
no apologies necessary. Yeah. I mean, it's funny. You know, it's funny, Heather, as you're kind of saying that, it's amazing how, you know, as you know me, right? You know me as a business coach or a business leader, right? But I mean, many people in my life always come up to me, especially living in the Pittsburgh area, was saying, well, what do you still do with swimming? Aren't you still a swim coach?
That's
and it's amazing how we kind of create these identities around people based on those first interactions. And you're right. I mean, today, but I mean, probably up until I was 28 years old, I was all in on swimming. And
how in the world did you make that shift?
It was actually by accident. It was a by accident story there. So I was out in California, which is a hotbed for swimming. And really in college swimming, you can be a bad coach, but a great recruiter and still have a great team. So that's where I really focused a lot of my intention on, was to be a better recruiter to attract the best athletes to our school. And one of the ideas I had in Southern California, when you're going up against the school I actually was at, was Occidental College, and the schools like UCLA, USC, right? These huge universities that were offering scholarships, you know, a little guy like me has to figure out some creative ways to get into these programs. So one of the ideas I had was prior to that, I was able to build some successful club swim programs. And so I had this idea of putting on this business leadership conference for swim coaches to help them learn how to build their programs.
Wow.
Well, it was a total failure, Heather.
Was it?
For the swimming perspective.
Okay.
But it was the best thing ever to have, what launched me into my career today, because I had so many businesses that were filled with former swimmers or former athletes that would see these posters at their kids' swim meet or in the local newspaper where I was advertising this, that said, hey, I can translate some of these leadership skills into my business. And the rest is history there. And obviously, you know, kind of fast forwarding here, 3 failed businesses, 2 businesses I sold later. You know, now I do the Vault team, where, as you said, we work with just, you know, incredible people that, you know, I hear, I mean, listening to your podcast, hearing coming on all the time, who, you know, they have a purpose, you know, they have a mission inside of them. But I think at the end of the day, they really want to generate a movement. They want to get people, whether it's on a worldwide scale, local scale, it's not about the size, but really just the idea that their message, their product, their service, their innate abilities are impacting people on a deeper level. And well, our company's done.
I can't wait to dig into that with you. And one thing that I've told you before that I really respect that you've been able to do well is this: build a culture that is really thriving, and the people who are in on your team love you, love the brand, are like the biggest cheerleaders. And I think that speaks volume to what you've created, because you can sit here and tell me how awesome it is, but when I hear it from other people, I think that's when you've really tapped into something. And I want to hear exactly your philosophy with that, because I want to do the same thing. I want to be a good leader and impact people like you are. But before we get into that, you just mentioned that 2 businesses didn't go so well.
3.
Yeah, I know
3,
we don't want to.
Oh, 3 bombed.
Okay. Well, we don't have to get into the logistics of that, but guys, this is real life stuff. We talk about the success all the time, but it's normally a result of a lot of learning and a lot of things that happened before. And that's reality. And so if you don't mind, Alex, I know you're an incredible guy, so you wouldn't mind sharing just a little bit, kind of give us some insight of what happened with your other businesses, what you learned from it, and how that's shaped and molded who you are now.
Yeah, no, I think actually you're right. More of the greatest lessons that I teach a lot of our Vault team members, or I post on my social media pages, is as much from the experiences of failure as much as it is from, hey, this is what we're doing correctly today. Mm-hmm. It's nice to share, hey, these are the big wins we have, but not many people, I feel like, share their failures. And in those three businesses, one of the things that we found time and time again, and for me specifically now, especially with a lot of businesses, looking back, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I didn't see that. But there are actually three very specific things that we can definitely dive into. But the first thing you mentioned right away is culture. Mm-hmm. I did everything, as you would say, by the book, by the business plan, by the SBA guides when it comes to writing the mission statement, writing the business plan, writing the core values of these three businesses. And yet I felt that the business didn't still have a foundation. That, and what was interesting was, is that when I look back at my career as a swim coach, I didn't do anything like that. I didn't do anything the way that I think is taught to small business owners when it comes to building a culture that attracts the right people. And we can talk about that more later, but that's one area. The second area is it comes to being a leader. Hmm. I think most young entrepreneurs, or what I'm not saying young in terms of age, but just people getting into starting businesses, whether they lack confidence, whether they lack competence, I think at the end of the day, though, one of the key skills about leaders that's often misoverlooked is the idea of being a visionary, but the meaning that you can look into the future and understand where your industry is going, where the marketing is going, what your clients are going to need down the road. Most leaders, I think, are trying to solve problems today rather than trying to seek out and get ahead of the opportunities for tomorrow.
Dang, that's good.
It's amazing the difference in terms of how your mindset shifts. Wow. When you start forgetting about the problems of now, just trying to focus on the opportunities of tomorrow. Big difference. Dang. And then the third piece, which is, here's a statement I think everybody who hopefully is listening to this, if there's one thing to write down, it's this. It's about doing the right things at the right time with the right people. And I know many businesses, we call it hyper-focus. And I know many businesses are just doing a lot of different things. They're trying to actually balance what they're supposed to be doing, whether they have themes for days, themes for weeks, or they say, I'm supposed to be doing A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Maybe it's a long task list. But more often than not, we found time and time again that 60% of your activities, of your focus, should be spent on one activity. And if you take that 60% and you do it compound it over even just 12 weeks, it basically means that you have mastered one area of your business that would have generally taken someone on average about 2 to 3 years to actually get through. So those are kind of the three areas that after those first three businesses, I kind of just took the whiteboard, Heather, and I said, screw it. I'm doing it my way. I'm doing it the way that I built these swim programs. I'm doing it the way that I feel is the right way to get businesses going there. And so those are the three things that if you take anything, those are the three areas that have a much larger compound effect on whether you start one business, you start multiple businesses, but those are the three things that we tend time and time again have all team members work on.
So when I said a 30-minute interview, I meant 3 hours. Did you know that? Is that cool? Is that cool?
Okay. We got it. I got my tea, so I'm ready to roll here.
The culture team thing I really want to dig into, but let me touch on those two other points that you made. Give me a concrete example. You said to think about the future problems. Give me an example of that. Cause like right now my target audience is mission driven, self-starters, et cetera. People who listen to this show are normally solo entrepreneurs, et cetera. I understand who they are, but how in the world, like I can tell you their issues now. Their issues are with time and balancing everything and confidence and stuff like that. How do I know what's coming up for them?
Sure, sure. There's actually three areas that when we talk about leadership, there's really three areas. And I mean, I'm going to use the not to, I don't know if you're football fans out there or not, but there was actually a news article that came out recently about Tony Romo, who's about to announce the Super Bowl. And that what people love about him announcing in the Super Bowl is that he's able to predict the plays that the quarterback is about to actually call 68% of the time. So wow. When you think about it this way, right, if you are actually a business owner, imagine for a second that you know these three things. Number one, where is your market going? Mm-hmm. Meaning, what direction is the market gearing towards? And you can actually kind of see it already. Look at the people that are leading your industry currently. What are they doing? What are they selling? What is the message they're trying to do? You know, SEO is a great example of a great area where people are trying to actually build this long-term strategy. And you'll notice the companies that are actually implementing visionary skills are talking about subjects that many of their competitors are not talking about, because they know it's something their clients are going to need down the road. And if it's the direction that technology going. So that's one area. The second area is what your clients are, right? So you think about this today and you look at your clients, say, these are the problems they say they need. Well, you can sell that all day and all you want, but imagine this for a second. If you're selling the same thing as every single competitor in your industry, all you're doing is trying to scream louder with the same noise that everybody is hearing. Why not go left? And in fact, why not go left in a direction where you actually feel confident that is counterintuitive to what people are saying? So I'll give you a perfect example. How many people right now in the coaching and consulting industry are promoting memberships, right? They're promoting this idea of this membership where you have a call once a month. Everybody's selling it for $49 or $97. Aren't there people in your industry that are just sick and tired of it? Aren't there clients that just don't need that? They want something that's more intensive. They want something to actually help them implement it. They want a place where that instead of just getting this one call a month and then going a month and trying something new but still struggling with it, they actually have somebody who figures out different pieces of the problem. So rather than trying to do the same as everybody, what could you actually do better that's way more valuable but also profitable for you? That's the second thing. And then the third thing that I always try to tell people is this, is that you've got to predict. You literally actually have to practice the skill of predicting the future. So if you actually right
you
now,
you know, that's all.
That's all. It's very, I mean, it sounds like, you know, just predict, you know, kind of be a, you know, a little bit of a Zen master. But I look at this as more often than not, if you think about investors, you know, the most successful investors from Warren Buffett to whoever, they weren't always right. But what they did was, is that they studied their markets and they studied the area so well that they took a shot, that they took a chance. And they're going to mess up the first time. They're going to mess up the second time, but they're going to get right. And what you're actually building is not a rational skill, but an intuitive skill. And that's what actually separates, I think, the visionary leaders from the leaders that are starting out. Most leaders think rationally. Visionary leaders think intuitively. Time and time again, they listen to their gut way more than maybe what everything else says. And that's built over time.
Hey guys, we're going to take a quick break so I can share with you about Help One Now. You may remember back in episode 52, I interviewed Chris Marlowe, their founder, and I'm super excited to get behind their work this year. And I want to invite you to join me. Help One Now has a program called Family Empowerment, where they go into impoverished areas in Ethiopia and help families start their own businesses. How cool is that? You and I know the power of entrepreneurship and small business, and that it has the potential to change the course of people's lives. And this program has a 95% success rate and can help families increase their income by 500%. And this show is all about making an impact. So I thought it would be so cool for this year, while you and I work to grow our own businesses, we also help these families grow theirs. You can go over to heatherparity.com/helponenow or click the link in the show notes to find out more information. All right, back to the interview.
That's so good. And what was that third component you said? You talked about culture, the three things: culture, predicting the future in advance. Oh yeah. The connecting with the right people at the right time. What is that? Goes back to that intuitive thing again, where you just get a check and you know, this is something I need to jump on. Dig into that just a little bit more.
Sure. You know, I think as a business, right? I mean, let's be real too. Everyone of us has problems. You know, something comes up every single day. This tech doesn't work. This client's upset. There are things that happen time and time again. So when we talk about this hyper-focus, we're talking about where your business state is right now. And based on what you know the opportunity is for the future, are you working on solving that opportunity today so it can be ready for tomorrow? Mm. Most people, when they talk about doing the right things at the right time with the right people, they see the opportunity as it comes right then and there, but they're not prepared. They don't have the right product set up. They don't have the right people in place. They don't have the right message in place. Everything seems out of work. And then all of a sudden you hear, like, how many times, maybe it's even your audience or people that you know, right? They shift. They went from being a communications person to a branding person. They went from this to that. And they do that because they see an opportunity, but it's a present opportunity, not a future opportunity. And I think what happens, unfortunately, for a lot of those businesses is they lose that trust in their customer. You know, if you're a business that's obviously promoting and selling and talking about a certain aspect of your business, and all of a sudden you just shift 180 degrees, well, you just lost all that trust in that relationship built with that one audience. So when it comes to hyper-focus, there's actually four areas we talk about. And very, very standard in business, right? Are you at a marketing and sales hyper-focus? Do you right now need to create a system where that area of your business needs to be automated? Are you in a system where you need to work on your product and service? Is that where you need to be? You're delivering your products appropriately. And then the third area is your team and leadership. Do you have teams? Do you have leadership? Do you have people that are kind of taking over key roles in the business? And then finally, not every business gets to this, but we call it exit and empowerment. Meaning, do you actually have a business where you can walk away from it and the business still continues to grow? So those are the four areas that, depending on where the business wants and what the business leader wants, those are the areas that we more often than not will say 60% of your time and energy need to be focused in that one sphere.
How did you go from swim coach to just like business truth bomb guy? That's incredible stuff, man.
Very painfully.
So good. So good. Now I only have a few minutes left, but I really want to dig into how you've created such a strong culture with the Vault team. Cause like I said before, your team loves you. They trust you. You just talked about building a trust with your clients, your people. How do you do that? How have you been able to have such a strong culture where people feel like they're a part of a family?
Yeah. I mean, that's the word I would use. It's a family. I mean, the one thing that I was very fortunate, you know, there's definitely things I was very fortunate in life. And, you know, one of the things I was very fortunate is to have, you know, a mom and pop who have been married for, I believe, 44 or 45 years that still love each other, that still care about each other. And they raised, you know, myself and my younger sister and older brother. And, you know, we all are still very close. We get together for the holidays. So I think there's some innate ability in me already that's like, listen, there is something about being supportive and always there for the people that matter to you. And I think that really comes through, hopefully, in my business, is that, you know, our culture, you know, there's definitely, you know, some things we do to help kind of build a cult-like atmosphere where people absolutely love what I do. They love basically anybody that comes in the Vault team, they become like that person's brother or sister. But I do think at the end of the day, there's actually a couple factors that are important. So number one, we are a very, very safe place. And I think at the end of the day, if you're struggling to figure out what type of culture you want to build, the first one I would actually recommend is don't worry about high performance culture or whatever that new buzzword is. Think about safe. People that are safe at their psychological needs need that to actually grow. It basically becomes the bedrock for them to actually try things that are courageous, to try to being honest with themselves, to trying to do the right things. Because when people feel unsafe, they stop. They block themselves off. They are not willing to go beyond what they feel is comfortable from them. So I think that's the first thing we do is build a culture that's safe in terms of not only just the fact that they're going to be successful, they're going to, you know, crush it, but more importantly there that they're going to be supported. That not only is it about their business problems, but it's about their personal problems, it's their life problems. You know, we care about those things. You know, a couple other quote unquote things we do a little differently, I think, than most people is, number one, we actually do focus on their culture way more than we get into just, okay, you need to be doing this business technique, or you need to be doing this with your business. Because I find more and more often than not that spending not just an hour here or there, but week after week after week, helping them fine tune that message so deeply that the people they end up working with are the people that actually match the person that they are themselves. It's not trying to get them to just say, hey, here's go find clients. And believe me, I don't want to sound cocky coming across this, but I think it's the easiest thing in the world is to get leads and sales. It's a very simple process. I know a lot of people out there struggle with that. And I think one of the reasons they struggle with that is because they're putting something that they don't connect with themselves on a deep level. That's what I think their major problem is. And that's why we work on culture a lot. And then the final thing is we are we're real time. Yeah. We're actually kind of, I think change is important, you know, but at the end of the day, our culture is always the same and it's always kind of tweaking. But at the end of the day, one of the things I find time and time again is we're not a static business, meaning I'm asking them for feedback. I'm asking them for ideas and we're implementing them on real time pieces, which means we don't have the most beautiful membership site or we don't have the most beautiful communication pattern, but they are so ingrained in our process and understanding that every decision we're making and every question we're asking them is to the betterment of them.
Right.
That really feeds through time and time again. So I think it's those three things among lots of things, but those are the first three things any business can basically do for themselves right away.
You kind of said something a minute ago I want to touch back on is, and I think it's thing now to really talk about, you know, becoming an influencer and having a ton of followers and ton of this and that. Mm-hmm. And one of the things you promote, and I cannot agree with you more, is it's not that, it's attracting the right people to you. Mm-hmm. How can you really tap into that and make sure that you're attracting the right tribe and the right clients and the right people to you?
Yeah, I'm not a big drinker, but I do think at the end of the day, it's the person you can sit down with and actually just spend time with and hang out. You know, who is that person? One area I don't know if I mentioned this. I feel like I mentioned this. I was on another interview, so I apologize if I said this already. But one thing I think most people get so caught up is that they need to write down their own mission and core values, that these are the pieces of what a culture is. And we've actually found time and time again that actually doesn't move the needle at all. In fact, that doesn't attract people, that doesn't connect with people. Because I'll tell you, for us, there's actually, if we have three values, they're actually the way I always end the video, it's that you live with honesty, work with integrity, and act with courage. Well, most people are honest people, or like to think of themselves as honest. I think most people think that they're doing things of integrity or acting from a place of integrity. But at the end of the day, one of the things that we talk about is, instead of actually focusing your culture on these values or these statements, talk about these as people. Talk about it on a very human level about what type of people you want to hang out with, as opposed to the type of people you want to sell with. And so this is kind of, and I'll share with you, if it's okay, I want to share with you those three culture things that we found time and time again that, and we'll actually tell you what the ROI factor is on it.
Okay. But
those three things are time and time again. So number one is vision. Not your vision, not their vision, but your vision together. When you actually come up with a vision, this is not about writing a vision statement, but you come up with actually something tangible that you both want to work towards, that you both feel is going to take a commitment on both sides, that really moves the needle. And in fact, that has an ROI of 6x more often than not. The second is the word you use. And I think I've wanted to come up with something totally different, but I just can't. I love the word tribe. Because we know that the word tribe comes from a Native American culture. And what's interesting, if you actually study Native American cultures, is that people in tribes don't look the same, don't always talk the same, don't always have the same business and stuff, but they share a commonality. They share a common trait. And so that's what you're actually trying to find is that, for example, very hard worker. I know you're a very hard worker. Part of our tribe, we don't have that as a quote-unquote value or as a quote-unquote expectation of everyone. because that's not everybody we're trying to get. We do get a lot of people that work hard, but we also get people that want to create it as a part-time business that, you know, just want to do it on the side and they want to spend more time with their kids. Great. That's wonderful. And I'm so happy for them. But there are definitely pieces of your tribe that you basically say, hey, we may not be the same, but we share this. And that's what you're trying to find. And then the third, one more, is the mechanism.
Okay.
Most people think the product and service is outside your culture, but it's not. Your mechanism is not about what you're selling. It's not about the stuff, but it's actually about the transformation that that person's going to go through by working with you. And that can always change. And that's where I think most people get stuck. And so when you actually align those three things together as your culture, it's incredible the type of response you get time and time again from the people. And you'll realize right away, you'll know right away by people and how they respond. They'll either say, that is definitely not who I am, and that's definitely not me. And you'll get those people that say, that is absolutely me. That is absolutely what I resonate with.
Yeah. What I like about you and what you're creating is I feel like you're bringing humanity back into sales and business and all of this stuff that seems very robotic and systematic, and you're bringing a human element back into it. And to kind of go back on what you said earlier about creating culture of safety, I kind of have this philosophy and I would love to hear your thoughts behind it. And I know we're getting close to time, but you know, being authentic and all that is super popular right now. And my philosophy is I feel like the more we're leaning into an online space and people are looking at their phones more, we're kind of returning back to those primal desires. We really need connection more than ever. And we need safety more than ever. And you mentioned having a family earlier. There's so many broken homes. Like, I can't relate to what you said about growing up in that kind of family. And a lot of people can't. And it's like this need and this desire right now to be loved and accepted and belonging, and not to get too overly deep in a business podcast, but honestly, like if we're going to be super real about it, that's what people connect with. That's what we're all looking for, is are some of those deeper needs that aren't addressed day to day. What are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, I have this, we were talking about this as, you know, right before, and you're so sweet to always ask me about, you know, for the audience, I'm expecting my first little guy here. It could have been actually during this interview, we were talking about that. So my mind is, maybe the word family is literally on my mind 24/7 right now. But I have a quote actually that I always say at my speeches about, you know, we talk about this authenticity, but it's the quote is that be the flag for everybody to see. And I think that, you know, authenticity is not by your words, but by your actions. The idea of just stating that you're authentic, stating that you're this or stating that you're that, I think it's, you know, it has to be proven. And I think that's all of us. I think all of us want to have a tangible view of people and have, and we kind of create these impressions and perceptions of what everyone is. And you're right. These people coming from broken homes, it breaks my heart. It really does. I mean, there's these, you know, there's so many people that, you know, have come from, whether it's broken homes, broken relationships. You can even talk about the people that, you know, have struggled to find somebody in their life. They feel that they're missing something inside. And this is just my, this is nothing business, but this is as deep as I can get. But one of the things that, and excuse my language, but pisses me off about the personal development and business development.
Watch your language.
I know. I'm getting mad.
Getting wild and crazy.
I think it's the idea that we need to fix people.
Oh.
That's my biggest beef with most people. Yeah, let's go there. So, I mean, to me, fixing people is this concept that there's something already broken about the person that we need to actually mold together. Every one of us has these different life experiences. You know, like we've talked about being a swim coach and a business owner and a family person, but you know, I've lived in the inner city, I've lived in the rural country, I've grown up on a farm, you know, I've lived it all, and I have found people to be the most incredible from all different lives.
Yes.
So incredible that rather than us kind of diminishing what they've gone and trying to reprogram or rechange or redefine them, why don't we actually enhance those innate abilities? Why don't we actually help bring those problems and those hardships we're dealing with and actually help them bring it to light? Because it's not only going to help them to be role models for others, but it's going to help themselves to figure out how they're going to move forward with it. So that's my big personal philosophy on it. it gets me, like, I hear these just individuals talk about, we need to be reprogramming people's brains. We need to be doing this. We need to be doing that. And it just, it fires me up every time, because I'm like, listen, just love yourself for who yourself. Let's teach people that.
Have you done a video on that? Posted that anywhere?
I don't think I have. You know what? It's funny, because I used to not be on social media. Actually, here's a true story. Everyone, like, you know, the people talk about this, is I go on social media. And that was always the thing. Like I said, listen, you don't need to be on social media to build a business. Right. I feel like that's happening all the time. So I wanted to actually prove this concept that, listen, the vault team is going to grow without any social media. And then about a year and a half ago, one of the vaulters was like, Alex, please, like, just start posting something, anything there. Because it was actually, ironically, here's the funny story. You know, we were actually helping our clients, you know, create this tremendous impact, being social influencers, right? Having 50 and 100,000, you know, profiles and making a ton of money. And I think I had 100 Instagram followers and posted like once a year or something. But the one thing I find over and again is that, you know, we on social media, I like to bring in a lot of intimacy to the space there. Yes, I love writing quotes. You'll notice that right away. I love sharing stories. I love sharing value. Like, literally, I will share everything I do, everything, 100% of what we do. I can show it to you. I can tell it to you, because there's nothing like being in our culture that's going to change the way it is. That's why I'm happy to share anything we do. But I share a lot. So I'm sure I've shared something like that, but you always ask me good questions. So I think you bring out things in me that I don't get to talk about as much. So
I just really think people need to hear that statement. I'm probably going to cut it up myself and put it up on YouTube or something. But that was just that's a powerful insight about fixing people and your philosophy around that. So
thank you.
Before our very last question, I know we've gone a little bit over. Where can people connect with you? I know people are going to absolutely love what you had to share. How can they get involved in, is there an application for the Vault team? How does this work?
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about this, you know, Heather, exactly, you know, some things that we try to do. And I know everyone loves the idea of putting out lead magnets and something that's, you know, of value. So one of the things, you can actually go to my website. You'll actually notice, by the way, if you go to my personal website, alexkuhn.co, it's a one page.
Yep. I pulled it up right here.
It just talks about exactly what our clients are doing. You know, right now I have an incredible team. I have a small team. I have people of three. I have Rebecca, who basically is my all. She basically does everything that I can't do well, which is a lot. I can speak well, I can coach well, but I can't organize well. In fact, I probably have to go, when I go after this, I don't even know where my keys are, and Rebecca's going to tell me where I set them down. So already, and then we have Kim, who basically does all of our technical, she does our organization. So she basically makes sure that our business is running smoothly. But you can go to alexkuhn.co. You can schedule a call with me. But for, you know, everybody on here that's listening, you know, if you go to, we call it the Vault team, and there's actually two reasons why we call it the Vault team. The Vault is the idea that, yes, it's a little bit of a secret society. What it really is, it's for people that are purpose-driven leaders. We care very much about the people that are in, and we constantly are turning people down because I want the right person to come into the program. But I want to share and help everyone. So if you go to the website vault.team/CPP, you will actually be able to take our congruent performance profile. And those are going to be not only the three areas I talked about, but three other areas that we found time and time again that with the right hyper-focus, with the right visionary skills, and with the right culture, when you actually implement those effectively there, we're going to basically give you a much clearer understanding of exactly what you need to be doing in your business right now to go, whether it's to that next level. But I think for many of you, and knowing you, Heather, to, you know, make the impact on the level that you want to make. Right. So it's vault.team/CPP. I'm happy to, you know, share that with everybody.
All right. That will be linked in the show notes. You're talking all to purpose-driven leaders here. So I'm sure people need to connect with you for sure. Last question, Alex. Let's say you were to go back in time, and sit with Alex by the swimming pool, the guy who was didn't even have a clue what was about to happen to him. He was just swimming. He was just trying to build culture and a team there. Let's say you're sitting there with him. You had just a few minutes to share with him a few things. It doesn't have to be business related, but just something you understand now that Alex back then had no idea about.
Wow. To share knowledge. You know, it's actually going to be very short. Okay. I would put my arms around him and I'd say, Alex, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You know, I'm a, whew, Yeah, it does emotionally hit. I know how one of the areas that, you know, I know that's helped me a lot and also is, you know, called the double-edged sword is I'm very hard on myself. And especially as a kid, I would question, I was always future-oriented. I was always thinking about where I wanted to go, whether it was a swimming career or where was my life going or what was I going to be doing. And I think that, you know, being older now, I realize that, you know, things are going to be okay. You know, yes, I'm not going to have a son. You know, it's the first time being a father. There's going to be a million things I don't know. And I hope 60-year-old would come back to me right now and tell me, Alex, it's going to be okay. You're going to be fine.
I can really resonate with that. I'm very hard on myself too. And what's interesting is I see you as someone who's very encouraging to other people and uplifting. And it's, I'm the same way. And that's interesting how it's kind of harder with yourself.
It always is, isn't it? It's not the craziest thing. It's always harder on yourself. And I also, you know, and I think part of it is that, you know, I mean, you think about, were you an athlete? I mean, obviously I know you did the triathlon, but were you an athlete growing up or?
I was homeschooled. So I was on a homeschool basketball team.
So yes.
Count?
That counts. The counts there. So that means you won every game, correct?
We lost every game.
Oh no. Do you have fun doing it?
Oh, it was an absolute blast. But you know, the homeschool teams, you don't have a division. So you had to play private schools. And so those are real players. So we got killed every time and made fun of, rightfully so. It was terrible.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know if this is you too, Heather, but like there are things that I am really competitive about, like very competitive about, but there are definitely things that I am just go with the flow now. And it's really, it's funny how I can, you know, for me, I've always been able to shift those gears. It's actually probably one of the reasons why I don't go back into swimming because I don't think I could ever get back to that level, if you will. I mean, I was training 6 hours a day at that point, but there's definitely higher priorities in life right now. And yeah, but I can relate to that. You're always a little bit harder on yourself. And I think that's a nice, I'm sure you see this with your clients. They're as hard on themselves and you can appreciate that. And rather than, you know, beat themselves up, you want to be supportive and encouraging. Right. So just like we all.
Alex, thank you so much for your time and congratulations on your sweet boy, Kevin.
No, thank you, Heather. This was wonderful and you are wonderful as always. And yeah, I appreciate the time.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you have not subscribed yet, please head over to iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts and hit that subscribe button. And also, if you have a second, leave us a review. Lastly, we have a private Facebook group. If you are looking for a tribe of like-minded leaders who are unconventional in their approach, but dedicated to making an impact, head over to Facebook and type in Unconventional Leaders, and we will be sure to add you. You guys have a great week.